Blog Talk Radio.
Women's History Month. I've learned a lot this month, even as a woman. I work at a school, and we have done all kind of dedications to women. The other day, I learned that there is a Black African-American woman who is the head of diversity for the Seattle Seahawks, and I found that to be a very interesting, fun woman's fact. Let me introduce my co-host tonight. We have DJ Sean. Are you in the house?
Yeah, I'm here.
Welcome. Welcome, welcome.
Yeah, you said something about the Seattle Seahawks. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And
did
you
know there was a black woman head of diversity for the Seattle Seahawks?
Yeah, I read about it, but I didn't know if they hired her or not. Yeah, that's fascinating because
they hired her.
The Carolina Panthers here in Charlotte last year hired their first transgender female to the cheerleading squad.
Oh wow, that's definitely a first. Definitely.
So I don't know if you consider that Women's Day.
You said you would. we stay off of them topics. We stay off of those topics. It's none of my business. I don't know nothing about it, and it's not my business. I want to welcome to the show Antonio Magaja. How are you?
Hey, what's going on? I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good. I'm good. Have you learned any interesting or anything this month for Women's History Month?
Learned anything new? I guess, you know, just this month listening to, you know, a lot of the guests you had on, just reinforcing, you know, how powerful the black woman is, and, you know, just, you know, extending the opportunity for me to be a little more grateful for all the black women that have existed, you know, in my life in the past and that still exist today. You know, you guys are a very powerful being, so just reinforcing my belief in that more or less, I guess, for me is what this month has done. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's awesome, because we have a return guest tonight, and I'm super excited about it because when she came the first time, it was the beginning of the month, and we had such a dynamic conversation about the divine feminine energy. I learned some things that I actually put into practice this month from having that conversation. So I'm super excited that she is back with us for part two of the divine feminine. Before I introduce her again, reintroduce, I see Sandy is with us. Sandy, how are you?
I'm awesome. How are you?
Good, good. So that's some good stuff that I experienced this month, meeting you per se online and getting to connect with you and connect you with some other people.
Thank you. Same here.
A couple of shows ago. Yeah. So that's been very, very, very woman positive for me.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So I want to reintroduce again our guest from earlier this month, Patrice Laird Walker. How are you?
I am wonderful. Good evening, Radio Land and host. It's good to be back.
Good evening, good evening. Now, I don't know if you have on you those five micro things that
I happen to have
us.
Them. Yes, I do.
You know, last time we talked about, so refresh us on what our subject.
Okay. All right. Just to give just a little quick summary on what we sort of kind of talked about last, about 3 weeks ago, beginning of the month, we talked about the divine feminine energy and its power and the concept of it, and how that energy allows, and it's not gender specific, but it resonates typically higher with women than men. So the divine feminine energy, it represents nurturing, compassion, intuition, a balance, a and just a deep connection with things, compassion and things that we typically associate with women. And the it can be cyclical in nature, and that's when sometimes we say women are maybe a little moody or whatever, and then a part of our makeup is cyclical when we think about a menstrual cycle. The woman's natural design is that, you know, it's cyclical. So we can have emotions, and if you have women who are on, you live in a house with several women, you know, and even when I've had roommates, your bodies sort of align with each other, and that's just a natural thing that happens. Amongst women.
Wow.
Men may not know that, but women probably do. So this is how women are made. It's natural for us to be in this space. It's natural for us to be in touch with our feelings. And we also talked about what it looks like when we aren't, and how that impacts us and causes stress and strain on our bodies, and how that can manifest. And we talked about a little bit, I believe, heart disease and high blood pressure and things like heart disease being the number one killer of women. And I do believe that carrier type of thing, you know, when you carry stress and when you are not, you know, able to release and express yourself the way you should be able to as a woman, your body holds on and carries that, and I believe, you know, this is no research statement, but enough, it when you put two and two together, you can see that there has to be some impact on our bodies when we have been for a generation, almost my whole life anyway, but when you had the NOW movement to enter in 1966 to present, and the trajectory of empowering women in this country, it's no surprise to me that there's some parallel between the heart disease being the number one killer of women and our right or our drive towards this movement to be independent and away from, it comes out away from the masculine energy that covers us. So that's what we kind of talked about.
That's funny that you're using the word covering in relationship to men, because if you, I think there's a, I feel like there's a resurgence of all this conversation and what it looks like covering and femininity and masculinity. I really see a resurgence of and a redo of what something that was really embraced, I don't know, decades ago, and like you said, before the women's movement, before the feminist, the feminist movement, but there's, you know, women being seen in soft lighting and soft ways, and men covering. I know that's definitely a buzzword in the church, covering.
Yes,
covering,
it is.
your husband covering you. Do you see it coming back? The same way, different? How do you see it?
I definitely see it coming back. And I also see it coming back better. I see that what happened historically in the 60s and 70s with the women's movement, and I know, like, black women attached themselves to it, or we didn't choose to be attached to it. We sort of kind of were attached to it. But it didn't start out as our movement. And we were sort of kind of caught up in the rapture of it. And as a young girl in the 70s, it was a part of the indoctrination of what you have to do as you become a woman. Take care of yourself. Be able to take care of yourself. Be able, my mother would always say, God bless the child who has his own. And if anybody steps out of line and you can't take it or you can't deal with it, you always have a way to take care of yourself and your children. Nothing wrong with that, but we didn't get the message to balance. and how to be in relationship with a man. We didn't get that always. Some women did, but not the masses of us. It was go to college,
mm-hmm.
get your degree, and be able mm-hmm. to take care of yourself and be able to get a really good job so that you can be independent. It wasn't, okay,
mm-hmm.
graduate from
mm-hmm.
high school and look for a husband. It wasn't that. So,
well, I didn't
you
get
know,
that message.
Okay.
I heard some of them got the message because they were at college to, what was a little, there was a little saying, you know, you get your
yeah.
BA, your BS, uh-huh. and some people had to get their MRS.
Right, exactly, exactly. I didn't get that message at all. The message I got was the message I received, and that was go to school, get your degree so that you can do, you know, you can do a good job or ring before spring. That's what somebody just texted me that's listening. A ring before spring, and that is in some cultures, that's what you do. That's why you go to college, so that you can be in the pool of really eligible guys that can take care of you and be a good provider, and he's going to do this mm-hmm. to be able to be successful, and you're in a different pool than if you didn't go to college. But we didn't necessarily get that part. You know, I didn't get that message at all. So I wasn't indoctrinated into womanhood with that. I was indoctrinated with be independent. Of course, I want you to get married, but always what? Be able to take care of yourself. And nothing's wrong with that. Nothing's wrong with that at all.
Mm-hmm.
But there has to be a balance. When you're in a relationship, there has to be a balance. And
mm-hmm.
I think I do see it coming back. To answer your question, I think it will be different because as women, we are different. And with anything, you know, history sort of repeats itself sometimes, and we see that, okay, that didn't necessarily work that way. Let's try it like this. And it's just a different spin on it. So I have a grand.
Well, I think once you experience, you know, I think culturally, once we've experienced, especially black women, without, I don't want to say we didn't have a choice, but the way that our culture, you know, especially with the 80s, with crack and all of those things, I mean, we didn't really have a choice but to take care of ourselves.
Right.
So
we didn't. We didn't. And I believe that, you know, in this country, there has been an attack on the black family unit for many decades, many generations, ever since we got here.
Mm-hmm.
So what has happened, they don't have to have shackles and things like that or run people off. The system does it. So the
mm-hmm.
criminal justice system is in place to keep us apart and not be able to be a family together. There's so many things that happen in our community that go against the balance of a man and a woman in a household together, raising their children. And I believe that a part of what has thrown us off is the fact that as women, we have experienced our own individual success and as a unit, collective success. But we haven't always known how to balance and stay in our feminine energy, allowing that to resonate higher than the masculine energy that we both have. We have both. Like, everybody has both. So it's there, but sometimes for women, we can move in that masculine space a lot more often, that energy kind of resonates higher, and we just have to, I mean, it's reprogramming. It's reprogramming. It's hard work, and in order to really experience, you can have the feminine, but to get to the divine feminine, you have to do the inner work, and we didn't talk a whole lot about that last time, but we did touch on it, and we talked about those micro habits, but the divine feminine allows you to do the inner work.
Okay, well, we have a caller, 313. area code 313. They have their hand up. If you are listening and you want to, you have something to say, give us a call at 516-453-9110. Press that 1 button, and I'll see your hand up. Caller 313, are you on? You have your hand up.
Yes, this is Deanna. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Hi, Deanna. Welcome to our show.
Thank you. So I just want to – it's interesting when Patrice was talking about the 70s, I just watched some information about where things kind of took a turn in the 70s, how the woman became independent with all the TV shows and all the subliminal messages, you know, to women. And that's around the time when the war, you know, men were coming back from war, and the women had to go out and kind of do, you know, work and everything. But for the black community, you know, when the men came home, they didn't get the same benefits, the GI Bill, as their white counterparts. So the women had to kind of, they tried to pretty much separate the men out the home, because they only got benefits from the government if there was no man involved. So, you know, they kind of pushed that movement even further, you know, saying, hey, we'll only give you this and we'll only take care of you if there's no man in the house, you know, and it's just you and the kids. So, you know, women went through trying to hide their man's clothes when, you know, the person came over to, you know, issue out these benefits so that they could still, you know, get assistance, because there were no jobs, unemployment fell, and it was just that further just divided, you know, not only the community, our community, but, you know, push women into the forefront, you know, as a whole.
Absolutely.
That's very, very interesting, because if you look at the narratives, the way that the media says that black people are lazy and they don't want to be in relationships and they don't want to be in families, and the men are, you know, they just going to hit it and quit it. But all of this stuff has been legitimately set up by, you know, the systems here to do that. And so I think in going forward, as, you know, we are now at the head, you know, we're, in our generation, we are the Xers, the Generation X. We are in the lead. We are in the lead, and so it's really important for us to rectify all of this misinformation. We have a caller 4-4-5-6-1. Did you want to?
I do. I'm listening to what everybody's saying, and I totally agree.
Oh, introduce yourself.
I'm sorry. This is Dawn.
Hi, Dawn.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Dawn.
I agree with a lot of with pretty much everything that was said, but I just have a little different ideology or different spin on just in the research and the evolution of me in the last couple of years. For me, like when the young lady was talking about, she didn't get that message about really women looking to be wise. It was more of, you go to school, you get your degree so you can take care of yourself. That's very true. And I had a conversation with my parents, not my mom, because she's passed, but with my dad, because that started in their era. The thing that I feel broke the black family was the introduction of the feminist movement, which was started by a white woman, black women on just to get the black women, but was not meant for us by any shape, form, or fashion. And we took it totally to the left, because if you look at the white women, they did that feminist thing, but they stayed married. They stayed with their husband.
Right.
Black women It's the opposite. We became so strong that we pushed our men out of the home. Then welfare came in and say, okay, now you got these babies. We're going to help you, but you still can't let that man back in the home. And that was the beginning of our downfall as a community. And my whole thing now is trying to, because we've got too many generations now that have been affected by that. And so I feel I'm trying to do my best because I want my grandchildren, because I'm a mother of two, to not be in the same situation that we're in. And it's going to start with us women right now that have realized the error of our ways, starting to teach our daughters, this is how you need to be a wife. Because they know how to go out there and get the bag, but they don't know how to be a wife. And so that's where we need to be around. So that was just my little two cents.
Oh, Dawn.
All right. Well, thank you, Dawn. I think Antonio had something to say.
Yes. Hey, Dawn, how are you?
I'm good, and you?
I'm great. I'm great. Thank you for calling in tonight. I was just going to say, based, you know, on what, and Dion, how are you, Dion? I'm sorry. I didn't speak to you as well. Based on what you guys are saying, too, is that what needs to take place because of the trauma that was suffered from, you know, the experiences you guys mentioned is a lot of healing on behalf of the black man and black woman. You know, I think on the level of the soul, as well as, you know, from a psychological and spiritual standpoint, so that we can both operate. Us being able to operate in our proper place from a masculine standpoint, as well as you guys being able to operate from the feminine. But I think until we, I think we are moving in that direction. I think we are slowly but surely, but just, you know, making sure that we get the proper amount of healing in those areas so that you can be able to operate confidently in that space, as well as male in the masculine. So I think healing is very, very, very important. Yep.
Well, I think Patrice, in tonight's, in what she's going to offer us, is the divine feminine energy that's going to allow us, like she said, you have to do the work. So there's work that has to be done that each one of us has to do or not, if we're going to achieve this new iteration of the black family. And so we are going to take a small musical break, and we're going to come back with Patrice and all of you all. I hope you continue to listen. We are talking about the divine feminine. We did a little backpedaling so we could give some context to go forward. So stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Well. Maybe you don't recognize what you got between your eyes. Come on. So I'm gonna set you right, and I'm starting here tonight. Well, shine like the moon and strong like the sea. More expensive than money, more valuable than anything. Juicy mango summer peach. Make a lame man walk and a fool man hungry. Well. And if you don't know what I'm saying, then baby, I'm telling you, there's power in them golden hills. Come on. You're a prized possession, not everybody's worthy. Only reason I know, 'cause I headed down that road. And it'd be a shame for you not to have your own glow. Come on. Well, well.
set you correct so you can get what you should get. Yeah. Intuition, something sweet. Let you know what you know that you find before you see.
Spirit of discernment, pray for every day.
Let you know who should go and who you should let stay. And if you don't know what I'm saying, then baby, I'm telling you.
Show. I am your host, Leticia Dorsey Magaha, and I am so glad that you all are joining us. I want to give a shout out to, we have a listener on in our chat, Esotericism, joining us. It's the ATL by way of Oakland, California. Thanks for listening to the show. If you are wanting to say something, give us a call at 516-453-9110. Hit that one button. And your hand will be raised, and I know that you want to talk. If you are on and your mic is on, hit the mute until you till it's time for you to talk. That way we can eliminate any background noises. All right, we are on with our guest tonight, Patrice Lair Walker. She is doing part two of the Divine Feminine Energies. When she was here about 3 weeks ago, we talked about 6 micro habits that you can employ. And, of course, she said that this is not gender specific because we all have, we house both the feminine and masculine energies, and we are learning as individuals and a community to balance those energies so that we can move in the most healthy way possible. You want to shoot us those micro habits real quick for review?
All right. Okay. Micro habit number one is to ask for help. Remember that you can't do everything. You can't be everywhere all at once. That is disrespectful to your body. Your body isn't designed to be in many different places at the same time. Mm. So you have to balance the expectation that you put on your body with what you are truly able to physically do. Remembering that physical strenuous activity doesn't benefit you at all. If you need help, be patient and learn how to receive. Feminine energy is all about receiving. And I gave the example of if you're in the grocery store and I used to be very guilty of this one. I'm not anymore. I've been set free. But if there's something on the top shelf, I would try to get it. And I'm 5'3". So there's no way I'm going to get to the top shelf without straining myself. putting that type of strain on my body to get to the top shelf, but I've learned how to ask for help. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a man that I ask for help, but anyone, hey, can you help me get this? I can't reach it. I am vertically challenged is what I'll say. Sure, no problem. And if it is a man, more than likely, most men are more than happy to help. They enjoy helping. I think Sean said last time how he will offer sometimes and women get offended by the offer, that he was like, you know, but he's happy to help, but they're like, why are you asking me or what are you doing? But that's wounded feminine energy. But when you're in your healthy feminine energy, you can receive help very easily and you know how to ask for it. Number two, do things that you enjoy. If you don't like doing something, stop doing it. We force ourselves to do things so many times that we just don't even like doing, but we do them because of the expectation that other people have upon us. Stop doing it. Stop complaining about it. Just don't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. And I know, like, as a single mom,
why do you think we do that?
Well, I think that, you know, it all kind of goes back to what Don was saying, too. Like, we took up this torch, and Dion, we took up this thing, like, you know, I got to be a strong woman. And somewhere we misinterpreted strength with, like, doing everything physically, just doing it all. I got to do it all. And if you do it all, then that it has to, it hits your body different. It hits you different. Your mind, your body, your spirit, your soul, you can't be pleasant because you always irritated because you should be somewhere else other than where you are. You thinking about the next thing you got to do. I would literally get in my car after work. As soon as I got in the car, turned it on, I'm thinking about what am I going to cook for dinner? What am I going to do? After I cook dinner, then I'm going to do this. Then I got to do this. Like, there's no space to slow down. Which brings me to micro habit number three, slow down. Slow down. Far too often, people are in a hurry to do so many non-emergency tasks. Making everything an emergency isn't sustainable. It causes additional stress and strain on your body. And this also, I think, leads into how we don't have time to be attentive to the people we love because we're so task-oriented. We got to get to this list of things to do. It's not even about spending quality time. If you've been out all day working and you come home to your husband, that's intimate time for the two of you, not to get off, mark off, okay, you do this, I do that, we do this, we do this, get the kids here, get the kids. No, build in some time for intimacy and to slow down and talk to each other. Because if you don't, just barking orders and checking off things, your love becomes transactional at some point. Mm. And there's no depth in that. It's no depth in that. And he doesn't get to vibrate on his high masculine energy, and you certainly aren't vibrating on your high feminine energy. And so you're like polarizing. There's no magnetic force at all. And that's the breakdown of a lot of relationships. So again, calmly ask for help. Try to find things you enjoy. Move towards experiences that you want to have, and slow down so that you can experience it. Slow down. The fourth thing is dress up. Put some effort into your appearance. Try to put together nice outfits. No matter where you're going, you don't have to be dolled up all the time. And this feminine energy is not about like I wear high heels or I do my hair this way. It's not about that. It's about effort. And that's different.
Mm.
Because you can put effort into a pair of jeans and a T-shirt. You can. Mm-hmm. Versus going out in your bonnet and pajamas and your Crocs. And nothing wrong with Crocs.
Bonnets are not, they're not a fashion statement?
They're not a fashion statement, and they are not feminine.
In Atlanta, they must.
I think it's a nationwide crisis.
Let me take a caller
myself.
Right now. Caller 404. Esotericism. Welcome to our show.
Yes, thank you for having me, and I appreciate the fact that you pronounced that correctly, because most people don't. with that being said, I love the energy that you are portraying and that you're presenting to everybody that's listening. And I just stumbled up on your show. It's funny how things work. So hearing all of you talk about the divine feminine, yeah, and hearing all of you talk about the divine feminine, especially the sister that just spoke, because she took a lot of pages out of my book. And I've been studying esotericism since I was in my early 20s. Now, I'm going to date myself. I'm probably old enough to be all of y'all's father. I'm 63 years old.
I doubt it.
So,
okay,
no,
well,
you can't be my daddy.
Okay, that's good. I didn't say your father. What I said, I said grandfather.
Oh,
now, with that being
no.
said, I'm gonna tell you the divine. Then I'm gonna tell you the divine wisdom that I grew up with. I grew up in a house where Sunday morning at 6 o'clock. Mahalia Jackson was playing on the vinyl. I grew up with Aretha Franklin, Minnie Riperton, Ella Fitzgerald, Billie Holiday, all of that. So even though I'm present in today's world in 2024, I'm a throwback with the whole divine feminine thing, because I saw how it transitioned from the 60s, to the 70s, to the 80s, 90s, 2000s, and now we in the 2020, where, you know, in the black community, the black woman transitioned from, black women have always been independent. Let's just get that out the way. That goes back to slavery. Black women have always been. Black women were able to work when men couldn't work. So they've been always black women could work when white women couldn't work. They've always been able to do the thing. Then we saw this transformation when you had the Equal Rights Amendment, and they were burning bras. These were the white women. These were the other women who were trying to get to where black women already were. Even though black women weren't vocally, they weren't vocally saying we want women's rights, because they already had it. They had their rights. They could get out and work and do whatever it is that they wanted to do. But then when white women co-opted the movement and jumped on the bandwagon, then it turned into feminism. Then it transitioned from feminism into pro-choice. These are all catchphrases. Then it went from feminism to choice to I'm an independent woman. This is the timeline. Y'all can check it. And then it went from I'm an independent woman to I can do bad by myself. So you had these different levels that just started. And what they did was they filtered down into all females in American culture. So then this whole paradigm where all of a sudden women started opposing men instead of working with them. Back to what the sister was just saying, in that divine feminine energy, that's the balance. That's that level you understand. Like she said, I'm challenged by height. I'm not trying to jump up there by myself. Hey, bro, let me holler at you. Respect. Can you get that for me, please? And guess what? Nine out of ten men will be, I'll be glad to do that for you. However, you get the same female in that same situation, now she's like, hey, dude, come here. I can't reach that. Can you get that? whole different conversation. That's a whole different energy. See, men pick up on that. Men pick up on that. Women just, women will assume that it translates the same way. And it doesn't translate the same way. So without me going off on the into a whole nother rabbit hole, I just want to say I love what you guys are doing. I love how you guys are expressing it. And in this digital age that we live in, it's I think it's imperative that young women listen to you guys and understand there's a way to do this to get what you want. And get the results that you want.
Right.
But you got to know how to talk. You got to know how to talk.
Oh,
see, because now we got a whole bunch of men running around. Now we got a whole bunch of men running around in feminine energy. See how they flip the script on it?
We got women
running around in masculine energy.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So we got women running around in masculine energy. Got men running around in feminine energy and falling all over ourselves. We just butting heads. We tripping over each other. We getting upset over the smallest little things. And I think it's imperative, and the only way that this paradigm is going to shift is it's going to be women like you that get the word out and let women know. Because here's what I learned. There's an old saying in a Humphrey Bogart movie, and I want you guys to listen to this carefully. Humphrey Bogart told a female, he said, women stay at home, broads run the streets. He said that in 1942. Now, think of the word broad and think of how we use broad in the black community. He said, women stay at home, broads run the streets. He wasn't talking women being subservient to men. He was talking about women being in their divine energy.
Right.
So, in their energy.
So if you out
like
there, So if you out there running the streets, you are broad. Now, see, you go to. Isn't there a Broadway? And guess what's on that Broadway?
Hey, a whole show.
A whole show. It is a show, all right.
Well, thank you for listening, and keep listening and join us. Just for a plug, we have some hot topics coming up in April. I know April the 17th, I've invited Antonio Magaha and the Heal Podcast to come and talk about submission. And that's a word that means something different for everybody. Mm-hmm. So I hope you guys join me next Wednesday, every Wednesday. We got good topics coming up. But I know definitely we're going to be talking about submission. And what that means to everybody. But Antonio, did you want to say something about that?
About the April 17th date, or what the gentleman just spoke about? Hello, can you hear me?
Submission. This divine. Oh yeah, we can hear you. The divine feminine energy. What the gentleman talked about.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna go back to what I was saying earlier, to take it a step further. You mentioned doing the work. I think doing the internal work as both males and females, getting to those areas, dealing with those traumas that we've been dealt. I think it allows us again to operate when we're supposed to. Of course, we know that we both male and female, that we have both energy present. But I think there's a time and place for the masculine energy to allow the female energy to thrive and be, to be at our best self when those both energies can be present. So I think it really points back to, again, healing.
you know, on the level of the soul again, on the level of the mind, on the level of the spirit. And I think that's when we as we are, and we continue to move into those spaces and areas of healing, I think some of the things that we're talking about can be rectified and we can be at our best selves. And we can be good for one another as male and female in relationship.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, and Patrice didn't, she didn't get to the end of her micro habits. But you know what? I just had a thought about it all. And we talk about this healing. And I know that I've been on an intense healing journey from the inside out. But how do we even know where to go? How do we even, because if we're coming from generations of trauma, generations of all of this misinformation, how are we even get, where are we getting our directions from?
It's in your DNA.
Yeah.
It's in your DNA. You ever heard of DNA explosions? DNA explosions are when you dream and when you have moments of epiphany, like you've been there before or you know something,
mm-hmm.
even though
mm-hmm.
you don't really know that you know it.
Mm-hmm.
That's your mm-hmm. DNA code. That's your DNA coding. And see, what mm-hmm. the world teaches us is not to follow that, because
mm-hmm.
as the scripture says, be in the world, but don't be of the world. That's an esoteric
right.
saying. It has nothing
mm-hmm.
to do with religion. What it means
mm-hmm.
is that you have to rely on instincts, because
mm-hmm.
you've been
mm-hmm.
taught a whole lot your entire life, whether it was your mom, your dad, a relative, a teacher, whatever it was that you were going through, you got all this stuff stored in your memory banks. And
mm-hmm.
all that stuff that's stored in your memory banks,
mm-hmm.
it pops up at certain times.
Mm-hmm.
It'll pop up.
Mm-hmm.
You know how, here's what I mean by that. You know how something will pop up in your head because you're doing something, and then the first thing you say, man, I know I should have done,
mm-hmm.
fill in the blank. Everybody has
mm-hmm.
that experience. Guess who that is talking to you?
Right.
That's your DNA.
And I think with the gentleman, too, like just taking a step further, what he's talking about is there's a level of awareness in that we have to come to. I think we all are presented with the opportunity to reach this level of awareness. But, you know, we once that awareness or level of awareness comes about, we have to tune into it, or we have to put ourselves in position, let me say it like that, to tune into that level of awareness to be able to make those decisions, you know, when those bumps in the road come up, or, you know, the opportunity to go left or go right, and that internal is saying go left. Tune into it and be willing, you know, to adhere to it. But the level of awareness has to be there. And I think sometimes we can look, you know, on the outside and we can see people making decisions. And even looking back on our own lives, the decisions that we made, and be like, man, why did I do that? Why, you know, but I think it's just to speak to the level of awareness. But we have to be mm-hmm. we have to definitely be tuned into it. It's there, but we have to tune into it.
Yeah, if it's encoded in the DNA. So we have a caller, 662. I know what area code that is. That's going to be Mississippi, 662. You're on. You have a question or you want to make a statement?
No, just listening.
Hello, Ms. Magaha. How are you?
Good. How are you all?
Good. Thank you for
very
joining
good.
Us. All right. So, we're glad that you took the time to join us tonight. Patrice, we're going to go back to the last two micro habits of
okay.
our divine feminine, and then we're going to take another musical break and come
okay.
back in with doing the work.
All right. So micro habit number 5 is sort of what the gentleman just said is the perfect segue into dreaming, dreaming about your life. Don't have the opposite of a dream is a checklist. And a lot of women walk around with a checklist. That's not the way to be in your feminine space. That's the fastest way to get to your masculine space because masculine energy is execution. So checklist means I got to do this. Feminine is feeling, dream. That's being a little girl again in your mind. Have a dream and talk about your dream. Share your dream. You know, you don't share it with everybody, but have someone that you share that dream with, if it's your spouse or a significant other, whatever. Share the dream with someone, and that gives you that taps into deeply into your feminine space because it's how you feel about a thing. I love the fact that I think one day I want to have an RV. I get so excited when I think about it. That's one of my major dreams, and I see RVs on the road. I get so excited. I talk about it. I've gone to camping shows, and it gets you in a space where you're light and you're happy and excited. Checklists remind you what you have not completed.
Interesting because we talk about the masculine, feminine energy, not gender specific per se.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about creativity, creation, women birth children, that is part of creativity, creation, and those dreams, and everybody can dream.
Yes.
Men can dream,
everybody.
Women can dream, because that is the divine creative space, dreaming, because what you dream, you know, is what you manifest. As a man thinketh, so it is. So, you know,
so is he.
It's not,
right.
I just wanted to point out that, you know, even though we're talking about women, it isn't gender specific. So men who dream, how can you accomplish anything without a dream?
Right. Yes, absolutely. And when you meet or talk to women that are so focused on the task, there usually isn't softness in that. Dreams are softer. Dreams are allow you to be, it's more fluid and free.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the space, like you said, where we are most creative in our in what we dream about and how this is going to look. Some people little girls may imagine their wedding day and they dream about it, the guy or whatever it might be. That's a way to wrap up that feminine energy. And then the last one is letting go. Letting go of the past and anything that interrupts your flow or disturbs your peace. Anything that gets in the way of your peace, disturbs your flow, is going to take away from you being as feminine as possible. You are freer when you have let go of things that disrupt the flow. So it's important that you identify
it. So what about your kids?
Well, you can have boundaries.
What does that look like?
You have to have boundaries. I have two adult children. And, you know, parenting, I believe each phase of parenting is so different and nobody else can tell you anything about how to prepare for it. It's just you have to experience it with your children on your own. What I have learned that works well for me with my adult children, if I'm going to do something for them, I do it the way in which I'm able to do it. I feel most comfortable doing it. I can't let them regulate how I support and how I help. I'm a coach at this point. The teaching phase is over. The disciplining phase is over. We are just like, if you need help with how to execute the play, here I am. But you got to get out there on the field to execute. That's not my responsibility to do so. So I have boundaries around it because there was a time when it constantly disturbed my peace. Because I was trying to still remain in the phase of parenting that they weren't in as children. I was still trying to be the teacher. I'm still trying to be the disciplinarian. You shouldn't have done that. That wasn't right. Why did you do that? That's over. That's done. So at this point, with a almost 30-year-old in about a week or so and a 23-year-old, I'm here for you, but my support is like a coach. Now, when things happen, I can give you a lot of advice about what I went through, and maybe you'll take my advice, maybe you won't. But I don't get in my feelings about it if you don't, because I have created a boundary for you that you don't disturb my flow. I pray, and I ask God to cover you, and I keep it moving, but I can't be in the weeds with you and your problems and your issues because it disturbs my peace. So I had to learn that. And that's a good question, because as you parent, you evolve, and you should evolve. If you're still trying to parent a 40-year-old, that's when you start having people, grown people, who you're still trying to treat as 15 or 16-year-olds, and you run into it's problematic.
Mm-hmm.
Problematic. So, yeah, so that is it for the micro habits, and I want to go into another phase of the conversation about divine feminine after we, Tish is going to move this conversation into a different space, but that's where I want to go. Now that we have context about women and historical context about women and movements that we've been a part of, initiated or sucked into, whatever, however you want to look at it, and then how that has played out in our communities and in our relationships with men. And now I want to talk about one additional part of this, like how do you recognize that your feminine energy is wounded and how do you correct it?
All right. So we're going to come back after this musical break. How do you recognize that your, and that really is, knowing is half the battle, but
right.
To be able to recognize that your feminine energy, your feminine is wounded. You are wounded, and how to course correct. We'll be right back.
Give me today my daily bread. Help me to walk alone ahead. Though I walk through the darkest valley, I will feel no love. My smile, my mind reassure me I don't need no one. Woke up this morning with my mind set on loving me. With my mind set on loving me. Woke up this morning with my mind set on loving me. With my mind set on loving me. I'm not so may not. Hey, the map of your palms, the tempo you beat, you're all that you got. Yeah, the bad days may come, the lover may leave, the winter may not. Hey, the map of your palms, the tempo you beat, you're all that you got.
Though I walk through the darkest valley, I will feel no love. Oh, my smile, my mind reassure me.
With my mind set on loving me. Woke up this morning with my mind
Girl, you have done it again. You have made it through another day despite all the challenges that come your way on a regular basis. And you look good doing it, too. Every day these people will try you, but you've managed to stay grounded and remain focused on your goals and the task at hand. In fact, not only are you surviving, you're thriving. You dream it. You work hard. You grind till you own it. You twirl on those haters. There's nothing that you can't do, you won't do. So keep doing you. Because you're simply the best. And you don't have to get your groove back because guess what? You never lost it. Don't wait to exhale. Take a deep breath and remember that you are 100% that one.
Yo, this is singer-songwriter Antonio Magaha, and you are now tuned in to B Radio. Peace.
Said all that on mute. Start all over. Welcome. We are in the 10 o'clock hour. It is 10:07, March 27, 2024, last Wednesday of Women's History Month. We welcome you back. I am your host, Letitia Dorsey Magaha, and we have a return guest coming back to talk about divine feminine energy. We had six micro habits. If you missed those, of how to kind of get into your feminine energy, and we are going to talk about now how do you recognize that you are wounded and how do you get back on track? And we have, I'm going to let Patrice start this off, or we already have people waiting to give their input in this. I am enjoying this topic. I hope you are too, Patrice. So.
Yes, I am. I love this conversation. The last time I was here, I loved it. And I this time it feels like we are, you know, really digging deep into it, and I'm really excited about that. As the gentleman said, this is a conversation that is long overdue, especially in our community, and I know that it has to begin somewhere, and a lot of most revolutions begin at the kitchen table. So when you it's just small cells like this that sparks the change. So I'm super excited about it because I know this is the missing piece for a lot of the things in our community that plague us. So recognizing wounded feminine energy, the irony in it is people really don't tell you that it's wounded. You may not know, you know. Nobody may ever walk up to you and say, you know what, your problem is, you got some wounded feminine energy. You might not ever hear that. But the major red flag, the way that you know that your feminine energy is wounded, the major piece is lack of confidence. When you doubt yourself, when you don't feel pretty or attractive, you don't feel that your worth is what it should be, or people don't respect you or appreciate you, 9 times out of 10, your feminine energy is wounded. And there are little things that, and I've got, this has been a whole journey for me. I've done a lot of inner work. I have really been committed, like everything I have committed to working from the inside out. The external thing, I went through a really rough divorce about 10 years ago, and it would have been very easy to go find someone else and use dating to heal me or to be the therapy. But I wanted to really get it right. And what I realized once I kind of walked into this space and into this, I had to do some self-reflection and check me about, like, what is this about? I was exhausted. I was tired all the time. I was irritated, usually easily offended. And that wasn't who I knew who I was to be in this world. I knew that wasn't me. I didn't come into this world that way. I wasn't that type of little girl. I wasn't that type of teenager. But some traumatic event happened, and it caused my feminine energy to be wounded. And I wanted to correct it. I wanted to get it right. So I began to pay attention to how I walk. I'm very cognizant of my tone with people. When I talk to my children, when I talk to men, when I talk to my mother, my father, I'm always paying attention to my tone, my attitude, and my intensity about things. And
so what
once
in the tone,
you do that,
like specifically, what in the tone? So you said tone, and you said
How you walk, your tone, your attitude, and your intensity. And just with yourself, for example, I'll give you an example of without as a woman, without a man, just you as a woman. If you find that you are always walking at a brisk pace, then you might want to check in with you and go back to that micro habit of slowing down. Just pay attention to your walk, your tone. If you find that you're always irritated after a conversation or you don't understand why people respond to you a certain way, listen to yourself. Especially women, listen to yourself when you talk to men. Because sometimes we can be a little edgy in our tone. And that, it can come off like you are being condescending or speaking down. And you might not really be that way. Now, I'm naturally sort of soft-spoken and, like, I'm not rough in that way. And some people just talk or speak loudly, but there's a tone that you have to be cognizant of. And then your attitude. Just making sure with your attitude and things, it may be easy for you to have a negative response. Try to make sure that you try to lean towards the positive. Silver lining. Always glasses half full.
I think someone had a question.
Sure.
Yeah, that was me. Hi, Patrice. How you doing? This is Antonio.
Hey, Antonio.
In a particular interaction or engagement with, just say your partner senses or feels as though that your tone is a little sharp or a little snippy. What would be the best way to make you aware of that without coming across like you're trying to be too controlling or trying to prevent the person from being themselves? Like what would be the best way to engage and to have that conversation?
I will always ask someone to repeat. I feel always ask them to repeat. Can you repeat that?
Okay.
Because if you say it over, maybe the second time you'll catch it. Because if you come at me real strong the first time and then you come at me real strong the second time,
right?
That's different than, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say it like that. I know what I said may have come off a little bit bossy or condescending.
Right.
I'm sorry. That's not what I meant. Let me say it like this. Or if you just get quiet, that allows someone an opportunity to reset. And everybody has moments. We all have moments when we need to reset. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Nobody's perfect. We're going to always, you know, have a moment or two, but it shouldn't be your pattern.
Mm-hmm.
If people are saying to you, who are you talking to? If you get that a lot, you might want to check your tone. You know, you just might want to check your tone because tone, people, they tune you out. When your tone is off, I haven't heard a word you said.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes someone can come to you in the softest way and cuss you all the way out. But because of the way they approached you, you didn't take offense to it. You almost laughed at it like, oh, my goodness, you're so crazy. No, I'm not. I'm being dead serious with you. But I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I we have another caller, area code 337, that I'm going to patch in. They have something they want to say. You know, I have a guest coming up next month. We're going to talk about emotional regulation, which is a part of all of our healing journey. If you haven't gotten it, but now that I have, I won't say achieved, because it's, you know, healing is you working on every day till you're dead, right?
Yes, that's right.
I am a lot more emotionally regulated than I was in the past. And with that emotional regulation comes just a natural soft tone. It is natural.
Right.
You know, I am not intense. I am not intense. I go to work. I work at a middle school with middle school children who will drive you to drink. But I don't feel that way. I'm like, oh, poor baby. Oh, what is it that you need? And I can correct you with a soft tone. I can tell you no, just with a smile on my face. No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Get where you need to go, and they can hear what I'm saying because they're not offended by the tone.
Exactly.
You can hear what I'm saying because you're not offended by my tone. And when you have a tone and people tell you about it and you don't, and you get offended because you said that earlier, easily offended.
Mm-hmm.
Easily offended about everything. That says that there's some healing that needs to happen.
There's some healing.
Okay, I'm going to 337. Hi, you're on Be Lifestyle Radio. Introduce yourself. Where are you calling us from?
Hey, this is Deborah Chocolate. I'm just listening tonight. I just got home, so I'm just catching the show.
Oh, hi, Rob.
How y'all doing tonight?
How are you?
I am fine.
Thank
you
for joining us.
Of course. So,
all right. Well, we are talking about divine feminine. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Okay, Patrice, so you were at the before Antonio asked the question. So we were talking about tone, attitude, and intensity.
Intensity, yes. And that intensity is, like you said, if you are at the grocery store and the cashier maybe rang your order up wrong or something happens and you go straight to the manager and you're offended and you want your money back and you if everything is it's on 99 all the time. That means that you got to step back and make sure you realize that everything isn't about you. Don't take it personally. That you need to, like you said, regulate yourself and say, excuse me, maybe I didn't ring up something right. You didn't ring up something or I didn't see it or I don't know, but I don't understand. Can you help me? Again, that's back to asking for help. And that's feminine. Can you help me understand the receipt or help me understand what happened versus you didn't ring up my, you messed my order up or whatever. You know, when the waitress comes and the food isn't right, maybe I wasn't clear about something. Can you help me understand or how do I, you know, how can I get this corrected or, you know, in the tone? You're asking in a helpful way. You're not asking in an attack way. And sometimes mm-hmm. people don't realize it. And the intensity in which you ask, it can be, like you said, offensive. People, you know, people are like, whoa, calm down. I just work here. You know, I don't make the rules. I don't set the price chart. This is just my job. And you got to remember, calm down. You calm down. That's the thing. Just be calm.
Be calm. I know she had the best intentions for everything, but I used to be definitely afraid to go to the store with her. Because if somebody said anything at any wrong angle, she was going in. She was going mm-hmm. in. And mm-hmm. so I kind of went the complete opposite of that, you know, mm-hmm. which didn't mm-hmm. serve me, because there are moments
right.
where you do have to stand up for yourself. But I went the complete opposite way with that. But we, mm-hmm. you know, the cashier was ringing her up, and they may call her, like, okay, dear. She would, don't call me dear. I am not your dear. Like, she would go ham. And I'm like, oh, my God, what is going on? And so it kept me on a very anxious, like, as a child, because I was just really concerned that something's going to happen here.
Right. What is going to happen here? Right. What is going to happen here?
Right. Conflict. There was always conflict. So that puts you in fight or flight constantly.
Right. 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 And that's not feminine. And a big part of, like you said, you went the total opposite way, which isn't healthy. It didn't serve you, because femininity is about boundaries too. That's a big piece. It's about boundaries, setting boundaries. And that's important, because when you set those boundaries with people, you expect them to respect those boundaries, and when they don't, there's a consequence for not respecting it. It doesn't mean that I cower down or you get to run over me. It means that I politely choose to do or honor my boundary and do something different. And that's very feminine.
So it's very interesting. I had this conversation with some seventh graders today. Like, I give out snacks. You know, if you get a good grade mm-hmm. or something, I give out snacks. And so some students would be like, can I get some snacks? And I'm like, well, I don't give. People earn. Oh, they go into this little, you know, thing. And I'm like, hey, so what I don't appreciate is being emotionally manipulated. And they look at me like, what?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, when I say no, then you accept my no, and you keep it moving. So I had this long conversation with this little girl and these little boys. And the boy asked another boy for snacks, and he said no. And then the other boy started with the emotional manipulating. And I explained to them, hey, don't do that. That's emotional manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
And so the little girl said,
mm-hmm.
well, sometimes I say no, and then I feel bad for saying no. And then
mm-hmm.
I was like, that's because you need to work on your boundaries.
Boundaries right.
allow you to say no, like, with
mm-hmm.
and keep going. Like, if I say no, I don't feel
mm-hmm.
any kind of way about it, because I'm
right.
at the core of who I am a good person, and I know that
right.
I'm a good person. I know who I am.
Right.
I'm confident in who I am
mm-hmm.
as a person. And so if I say no,
mm-hmm.
I'm a generous person,
mm-hmm.
and if I can, I will. But if I say no, that means I can't, and I'm okay with it, and you have to be okay with it as well. So this kind of terminology,
right.
the kids were like, what's emotional manipulation? And I explained it to them, and they started repeating it, and, hey, don't emotionally, and that's okay, because I'm getting into your vocabulary so that by the time you're a grown-up, you can,
mm-hmm.
you'll be okay.
Right, right. And that's where our work lies. I truly believe, for me anyway, working with our young people, our young women, so that they can have the resources and the mindset necessary to really make good choices, because you can't really make good choices for your life when you are not, when you're out of balance and you're off whack. It's hard. It's very difficult. But when you're balanced, your divine feminine is resonating high enough, you are able to, like you said, have boundaries. You love yourself. You have self-confidence. You feel empowered to make good choices. You trust yourself to make a good decision about something. And it's not just checking the list, because checking the list is, okay, get my degree. Bam, did that. Okay, let me get my master's, because that makes sense too. Bam, did that. All right, now I need to go find me a husband. Bam, now I need to have some children. Bam. Everything is so robotic, and then when you get so deep in it, you wake up and realize, wait a minute, who am I? And that's a long time to be thinking that through. You need to enter into that, all of those things, knowing. And as a divine feminine woman, you know that you receive everything. So there's nothing that you go out and get. So you wait, and you wait your turn, right? I know we've been looking at a lot of people have been looking at TikTok Risa Tisa and her story and how she shared and chronicled all of the things that happened. Well, in episode one, when she said that she went out and she thought it should be her turn for this to happen, that out of order right there. And like, she was very honest and vulnerable and said, I messed up. She said that. But she's like a lot of women. It's what happens. But this is a part of the reason why we are here. And looking at things statistically, I ran across something that said in 1970, the percentage of black women who were never married was 27%. By 2020, it's almost 50% now, 49%. Never married. That's not, I know.
Well, I mean,
there are a lot of
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I know there are a lot of things that play into that and what we, you know, have been through as women and as a people. Yes, it's a lot that plays into that. But then we also have to own some of the things that we do. And we just been programmed, like we talked about a little bit earlier, just the messaging that we've received, you know, and it causes us to feel like, okay, let me get into this executor position where I am, you know, trying to
get
figure it
done.
Out. And that's, I got to get it done, you know, because if I don't get it done, who's going to get it done? But that's like you give yourself this God complex almost. And you don't need space for God to move.
So when we discover that we have a wounded feminine energy, what do we do next?
You have to begin the major piece is inner work. And that looks different for everybody. For me, it was therapy. And it was healing, and it was really getting into the things that I knew, the way I wanted to feel in this life, in my experience here on Earth. I knew that I wanted to have a certain feeling a majority of the time. And there are ways that you can get back in touch, and I've tried really hard to tap into all of those things. A major piece for me is spending time with other women. I enjoy my sister friends. And I'm very intentional about those relationships. When I was raising my children, I didn't have much time because I was always, you know, busy with their activities. So it doesn't, you know, give you a whole lot of time. But I could have had stronger boundaries around those and protected those relationships with other women. And I think that's important. It's also important to allow time for grounding and healing and a reset. Like, a lot of times I would go And even on the day which I most of my life held as a day of rest, on Sundays as a mom, that got absorbed in getting things ready for the week. So there never, ever really mm-hmm. was time. I didn't make time. There was time, but I didn't make time or protect time, I should say, for me to have this grounding, which now looks like some days I don't cut on the TV. Some days I may not be on the phone as much. And then when I'm quiet, reflective, or some days it's listening to music because I love music. So whatever it is that you have, that you enjoy, whatever it takes for you to be, to center yourself again, that's what you got to do. Prioritizing self-care. If getting your nails done and, you know, pedicure is something that you enjoy and that's how you take care of yourself, make sure you put it in the budget. Make sure that you always do it. If that's the thing that makes you feel good about you, getting your hair done or going for a walk, whatever it is that you love on you, not loving on you because, hey, I got the kids with me. Let me sit in the car while they go to practice. I'm just going to sit here. You can do that, but it's not as intentional as, all right, on Monday evening, that's mommy's time. Or that's what I'm doing. I don't know what everybody else is doing. I cooked dinner last night. Y'all having leftovers. I'll be back at whatever time this is. And if you're a single mom, that may require tapping into your village, asking for help. Remember, that's the feminine side, too. Asking for help. Not walking around with this S on your chest or being Wonder Woman like you can lift the world. You can carry everybody because you can't. Not possible.
I want to chime in with.
Uh-huh.
You said what?
I was just going to say doing things that spark creativity, whatever that is. I like to cook. I like just to use, like, gardening, planting my flowers in the springtime. Whatever it is, that's you. That feeds into your femininity.
I want to say definitely as a life coach, I am a certified life coach, just a shameless plug. It is my show, life coach, and I have definitely coached quite a few people into maybe not specifically femininity or their feminine energy, but just being self-actualized and as a woman that
mm-hmm.
is being, you know, tapping into your feminine energy. But getting, if you can't figure this thing out for yourself, right, and you rack your brain, you don't really know, you're miserable, but you don't really know how to come out of that misery, I would highly recommend, there are coaches by the dozen now. Everybody wants to coach now. And if that's not enough, because I mentioned this before, I've had a client who, after doing a year of coaching and coming to some very, very good spaces in themselves, realized that they needed a therapist. And life coaches aren't therapists.
Mm-hmm.
But I would highly recommend, I if you don't know anybody, I know plenty of people. I've introduced, I had a guest, Gina Gibson, months ago. I actually introduced Patrice to Gina, and she's
mm-hmm.
gotten a lot of really
mm-hmm.
good value out of speaking to her and having that. Because
mm-hmm.
we, you know, again, asking for help. Maybe I need help from someone who is certified
mm-hmm.
to take me to places and spaces that I might not be able to get to myself.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
How would you... I know you mentioned self-care, which I think is very important. What would you rank, or how high would you rank the internal work as opposed to the external? Because I know, you know, as men and women alike, sometimes we can, you know, as men, we get in the gym, you know, we like nice cars and things of that nature. We try to dress ourselves
mm-hmm.
up to make ourselves feel good, which is excellent.
But that internal work, you know, sometimes we can forego that and try to overcompensate for the external things. So how would you rate, or how would you rate the internal, the therapy, getting with somebody who can help you get past some of the situations that, you know, getting your nails done and hair done is just not going to fix? How would you rate that?
Right.
You know, but yeah.
Well, let me, yeah, great question. Very, very good question. Let me ask you this. Do you own a car, Antonio?
I do.
Okay. How often do you change the oil in your car?
As often as needed. In most scenarios, there have been a few months that I kind of flipped.
Okay,
that
so
I kind of
flipped,
you know,
in one year, how many times, just guess, how many times do you change the oil?
At least 2 to 3 times.
2 or 3 times, okay.
Yeah.
If you change the oil in your car 2 or 3 times because it gets a little muddy after you started it
Correct.
Up, probably out of 365 days, you started it, and you have run that car for 360, safe to say, right? Well, your
right.
brain runs about, yeah, your brain runs 365 days a year, right? And
right.
even when
right.
you're sleeping, even when you're sleeping, that brain is sometimes moving and you have a dream or two. It's working, right? If
mm-hmm.
you never,
mm-hmm.
if you never drain those old thoughts and habits out of your brain and get that tape
That's
cleaned
good.
Up, because it's just going to keep
That's
going
good.
On loop, and you just going to get older, and that message is going to continue to loop. If somebody told you in kindergarten that you
mm-hmm.
are not pretty or you are not smart,
mm.
and you haven't
wow.
had an opportunity to reset that message, and you're 54, 55
mm-hmm.
at this point,
mm-hmm.
that's 50 years of the same message, and you haven't cleaned or drained that oil out. If you can, if we can be that good to our cars, I know
mm-hmm.
we can be this good to ourselves. So my thought with
good.
It is I keep my therapy appointments. You may not
mm-hmm.
have to have them as frequently as you do the work. You know, I
right.
don't go as often as I used to. But every now and then, I still need to, just the conversations that we have, you need to clean up. The conversations that we have with other people, and more importantly, the conversations that you have with yourself.
Mm.
You got to make sure that you are saying the right stuff, that you are not sabotaging your own success. And sometimes that's what we do because of the messaging. We doubt our own selves, girl. You know you can't do that. Not somebody
right.
like you. You too old for that. You too fat for that. You not pretty enough for that. You now look at her and look at you. Now you wonder why you such and such. Come on now. You got
mm-hmm.
to, if you are never, ever cleaning that toxicity out of your mind, you won't get to the place of peace. You won't get to see your soft side anymore because you keep adding to the negative message, just not even on purpose. It's just being out
right.
in the world. Just because you drive your car every day, it depreciates. Just because your car
right.
runs over potholes, just because your car drives through the rain and the snow and all of those things, it gets muddy and gusty, and you got to take care of it. So how do you not take care of you? And you out in the elements. You out
That's right.
That's, especially if you got a job, you are definitely out in the elements.
You out if you live, you even if you unemployed and you stop at the gas station, you out there.
Yeah.
You out there. If you go to the grocery store, you're out there. If you go to the school where your children attend school, you're out there. You're out there. You know.
Right.
So you got to do your I can't say it enough. Like, it's
mm-hmm.
so high on the list. It's so important to answer your
right.
question. It's the number
mm-hmm.
one thing you can do for yourself. And you can't talk about it's expensive because we spend our money
right.
on a lot.
On what we
mm-hmm.
on what we want
That's
to. Real. So if you want to invest into you and your mental health, you got to do it. I mean, you can't go cheap on that. Now, you might be able to cut back on fast food, but don't cut back on your therapy.
Mm-hmm.
That needs to be in the budget. That needs to be prioritized.
Like you really said a whole lot. I mean, that I really totally agree with that. And you know, we scamp on ourselves. We do.
We scamp on ourselves.
And the funny thing is for the people who, the religious community, there's a Bible verse that says, you know, love God with your whole heart, mind, body, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I know growing up, I really got, I know I got the wrong messaging out of that. And I know lots of people got the wrong messaging out of that growing up because you see people treating other people better than they treat themselves. Because that's kind of the way that it's been taught and miseducated. We're miseducated because the fact of the matter is if you are loving your mind, your body, yourself, right? Like if you're loving yourself. You're taking care of yourself first. That's who, if loving God with your mind, body, soul, or whatever, you know, however it says, that is loving yourself and then loving your neighbor as you love yourself. And we're not talking about overindulgence in, you know, things and like that kind of thing. I mean, it could include that. I'm not saying it can't. But we're not talking about vanity and we're not talking about conceitedness. We're talking about if you're loving your mind, then you are treating your mind. You're not putting anything into your brain. You're not.
Right.
Your body, you know, loving your body is eating healthy and exercise. And then Lord knows, I can't speak for everybody. I got work to do in that arena. But
me too.
Loving your mind, body, and soul is really just feeding yourself from your eyes, your ears, your mouth, everything that you do. Because God, you know, they'll tell you that God is in you, but they don't want you to believe that you are, they, Jesus say, we brothers and sisters, and God is inside. If God is inside of you, then, I don't know.
Is it even possible to love anything or anybody outside of yourself truthfully before you learn to really love yourself? Is that even possible?
I think you're absolutely correct because what we think love is, that's a whole nother topic. Because if you treat somebody better than you treat yourself.
Right.
Right.
Then that means you don't think, you don't really, from my perspective, you don't think very highly of yourself. You have a very diminished look of yourself. The very diminished perspective on who you are and your being.
And we know where
you
got that from.
Anything else, well, of course,
And that also speaks to with the divine feminine women. For some reason, we have this thing like I got to make all kind of sacrifices for everybody else, make sure everybody else is happy, and that's not loving you. That's not loving you. You cannot.
Nailing yourself sacrificial.
Right.
Nailing yourself to the cross and for other people when you can't, when you won't even do it for yourself. And nobody told you to do that.
Nobody. You put yourself in that spot. Self-proclaimed sacrificial lamb. This is what I'm going to do. And then you wonder why.
And think it's honorable.
Yeah, right. But it's a recipe for abuse. It's a recipe for low self-esteem. It's a recipe for misery. You cannot be in a happy situation and you have made all the sacrifices. That's not happy. That's miserable. It's miserable.
Miserable. And it comes off as miserable. Hey, I got Katrina Maddox in the chat saying it's super important to do our best to put ourselves first. It's hard, especially when worried about others' well-being.
Yes.
That's true.
It's very hard.
But what happens when we worry about other people, it really is us taking on roles, and we're not talking about, you know, small children, or, you know, being concerned with people is one thing, but being overly concerned is then taking over roles that it's not really your business.
That's right.
You become a god. You become the supreme being trying to, you know, manipulate worlds that you can only control yourself.
That's it. That's all you can do. That's all you can do. And we shouldn't think so highly of ourselves to believe or think we could do more than that.
Right.
So we have to to be careful.
Katrina said, facts, see boundaries without feeling bad about it. We talked about that earlier.
That's right.
I've just gotten there
we did.
In the last couple of years, and I really am excited about those boundaries and not feeling bad. Well, listen, it is 10:47, and we are on our way. We only have a few more minutes before everybody, you know, before our show is over. I'd like everybody to, how do we get in contact again? Do you have some kind of workshop? I do. I would love for you to come out to the school and talk to my girls. I know you are long gone from the education field, but
No, that is what I want to do. That is really, I believe, my purpose here. I believe that all of what I'm talking about, I know that the next generation, I believe they can get it right. It's a balance. It's a delicate dance between that masculine and feminine energy, and it's a balancing act, and I believe that it can happen. And I want it to happen, and I want to do my part to see that it does happen, because I wish that I was more open to that when I was in college or even as a senior or junior in high school.
Were happening.
Yeah, I really do. And that I know, like, my mom tried to tell me a few little things, but it wasn't with the intention that I believe needs to happen. I have a granddaughter, just had a granddaughter. She'll be 6 months tomorrow. And I am already intentional about this. And I have a grandson too.
Mm.
And I'm not doing it the same way with him that I'm doing it with her. He gets a different lesson. But she's already getting some lessons, yes, and she's 6 months old. But she's already getting some lessons just based upon, you know, how I engage with her. And I was a sensitive little girl, and I was taught at a very young age, don't wear your feelings on your sleeve. So that taught me, don't get into your feelings. Don't do that. I want to teach her, tell me how you feel. If you're crying, it's okay to cry. It's okay to feel, because that is how God made women. And we can't be men trapped. You know, we can't be men. Men can shake it off. Don't wear your feelings. And they might be able to shake it off a little bit better than we can, because they spend a lot of time in their heads, analytical logic and execution. They don't get tangled as much in that. Not that they don't have feelings. I'm not saying that. But they don't necessarily get down into that the way we kind of are in it a lot more. And it's okay. It's okay, but to be emotional, to regulate it is what we have to learn how to do.
To be regulated. So is there, do you have a website yet, or do you have, how can one reach you if they wanted to get coached in this?
Oh, okay. So the coaching piece, I haven't really started that yet. I do want to eventually do some one-on-one coaching. If you do want to reach out
to me. I can, if you connect with Fish, she can give you my email address, and we can take it from there. And I can also, I'm not necessarily set up to do anything in terms of like one-on-one coaching right now, but I am working towards that. But I am working on a workbook, and the workbook will have a laid out curriculum for you to follow. If you want help with following it, I'm here for that. But as far as just one-on-one coaching, I'm not necessarily at that point yet, but I'll consider.
Okay. All right. We wish you all the best in that workbook, and when you
thank
get that
you.
Workbook put together, you come back onto the show and let
I
us
will.
Get into that. If you are
I
looking
will.
For life coaching, I am a certified life coach. You can reach me at becomingexcellentb.com or Becoming Excellent on Facebook and Instagram. Join me on there. Follow me. Like and share. If you know somebody that needs a life coach, I'm here for you. Antonio, you want to let everybody know about your men's group, where you're getting into these men issues and these this masculine energy.
Sure. Yeah. If you any men out there that are looking for a non-judgmental space that you can come have some real raw, relevant conversations regarding men's mental health. You can tap in on IG at Mandatory Adjustments 2024. Again, that's Mandatory Adjustments 2024. Also, we just started our, as a spinoff from this particular platform, our podcast called The Heal Podcast on YouTube, where we'll be talking about or going more in depth about issues regarding men. So tap in on that as well. So, again, that's Mandatory Adjustments 2024 on Instagram.
Awesome. And like I said, we're going to be coming in the month of April. We're going to talk about a lot of these issues or, you know, solutions. Because I'm definitely a solution-oriented person. This male, masculine, feminine energy and how we can really get to healing. Sandy, you've been so quiet, but you have a show on the Hilltop Radio. You want to tell us? You want to tell our listeners how to...
Yes,
where to follow
thanks.
You and what
yes.
your show is, what your platform is about?
My platform is called the Miss Baldy Show, and it's called Miss Baldy because I have alopecia and I am bald. My personal page is Sandy, S-A-N-D-E-Y, Green, G-R-E-E-N-E. My alopecia page is Don't Stare, Just Ask, hashtag alopecia. My Instagram is fearless_woman68.
All right, and she has some dynamic guests. I was on the show Tuesday, dynamic conversation surrounding alopecia and confidence for women, because without confidence, we can't do anything. We can't do anything. None of us can. So I hope you all tune into the Hilltop Radio Show on Tuesdays for her show. Is there anybody who has some last thing they want to say? We have 4 minutes, and we are out of here. Okay, what did they say? All hearts and minds clear. I hope that you all have enjoyed tonight's show with our special guest, Patrice Blair Walker. I am your host, Letitia Dorsey Magaha, and you have been listening to the Be Lifestyle Radio Show. I hope that you enjoy tonight's show and that you will join us again next Wednesday, same time, same place. Have a good night.
We're wrong.